Hello and welcome to Sustainability is Sexy, the podcast where we talk about all things sustainable, from regenerative agriculture, alternative to single-use plastic, and everything in between. I'm your host, Liz Murphy, and each episode I will talk to leaders in the sustainability space to provide insights, innovation, and inspiration for all of us to create a healthier planet. Today, I am joined by Daniel Ryan Broida, registered herbalist with the American Herbalist Guild, instructor of mycology, and director of education at Four Sigmatic. Welcome to the podcast.
Thanks so much for having me.
Super stoked to have you here. I myself have heard you on other podcasts, and you were, you know, I've had people shout you out and want you on Sustainability is Sexy. So very excited to have you here today. Learn more about who you are, what you do, so that our listeners can kind of dive in about it. So thank you so much for being here.
Yeah, thank you.
What brought you to where you are today? Because you've got a lot going on. You're doing many different things in a variety of different spaces. So tell me a little bit about what brought you to where you are.
The principal guiding force, I think, in all of the different paths that I've taken is about the earth and about connection. And so that has led me on many, many chapters. Anyone that doesn't have a conventional path probably relates, where I've been a yoga instructor, I've been a detox coach, I've taught, I've had clinical practice, I've worked for now a CPG brand, and all of it comes back to care for the earth, the plants, the fungi, and how we can protect the planet. Honestly. And I think in order to really show up for the earth and for the planet, we have to be whole ourselves. And I had to learn this the hard way, but I was a really big environmental activist for many years of my life and, you know, was expecting a lot from people. Like, we got to show up and where's the motivation? And I think ultimately I had a big life shift. I lived in Asia for many years and got really into Buddhism and spirituality. And I realized that by kind of being in this activist mindset of us versus them, it was only creating more of the same energy in the world, right? It's like us versus BP or us versus big ag or us versus big pharma or whatever these kind of contradicting forces were, instead of really showing up in a place of vitality and connection. And so I kind of shifted from being really earth-centric as the outward expression of what I was doing to how can I support people to be the most vital versions of themselves, to have the desire to connect with the plants, with the fungi, to get outdoors and be inspired so that then they want to, you know, be an advocate for the planet. So kind of shifted in the way that it manifested. But ultimately, I think all of the paths have been about connection and how can we feel our best and be as kind of awake and vital as possible so that we can remember our innate connection to the earth.
Yeah. Yeah. And you're clearly doing that in many different ways right now. So I want to focus a little bit, first of all, on your work as an herbalist. So let's dive into that for a second and tell me more about what that looks like. I think a lot of people, you know, some listeners may be familiar, but others may not, about what a clinical herbalist does and how that relates to sustainability, not only for the human body, but for the earth as a whole.
Great question. I'm looking at my giant apothecary full of herbs as we speak. So it's really relevant. But what herbalism is really original medicine. So the majority of our pharmaceuticals actually originate from isolated compounds that came from a plant or a fungi. And so rather than using those isolates, it's going back to the source. This is the oldest medicine that humans have used since we've been in existence, and it's accessible in a way that a lot of Western medicine isn't. It's also much more holistic, so we can actually grow. I'm looking at rose and feverfew, and what else can I see? Lavender, cinnamon. So it's using these plants in a medicinal dose to support our bodies. And there's lots of different ways that we can use the plants. In my practice, I have a functional mushroom-based practice, which we can get into. So what that means is every formula is designed individually for the body. And this might sound kind of weird because in our Western world, we think of treating symptoms, right? A headache is a headache regardless of the person experiencing that headache. But in in Western herbal medicine and a lot of traditions of folk medicine, be it TCM, traditional Chinese medicine, or Ayurveda, traditional medicine of India. These are actually the second and third biggest systems of medicine still practiced today besides Western medicine. Mm-hmm. And in these practices and kind of what we focused on before the Western approach of treating symptoms was treating individual body types. So the recognition that all of us fall within 3 to 5 body types that are often aligned with the elements and temperatures and moistures of the planet. And based on that, herbalism is a bit like matchmaking. So rather than saying, okay, you have a headache, take this ibuprofen or NSAID, it's okay, you have a headache. What could be going on underneath that? Why is this headache arising in the first place? So looking at the root, the foundation, and then treating that body. So, okay, what is the constitution of that body? And choosing herbs that will help balance and bring about kind of the easing of the headache from treating the underlying source.
Like I said, I'm sure many listeners at least have dabbled in some form of herbalism in one way or another, whether it's on their own or, you know, utilizing the resources of an actual clinical herbalist. But it's a practice that I think is coming back around, which is really encouraging. Obviously, Western medicine has its place. I'm a major advocate, and I'm sure as are you, for, you know, the advancements of medical science in, you know, all cultures. But this kind of mindset of going backwards in order to go forwards is something that we've talked about on this podcast before in regards to sustainability for the planet. But it's, you know, something that we need to focus on for our bodies as well, which is kind of what you are talking about.
Yeah, I love that. And it reminds me of permaculture as well, in a way of how can we look back at the things that have helped get us to where we are today, right? Have really nourished us and supported our vitality. And that doesn't mean kind of turning a blind eye to modern evolutions in technology or in procedures. My decade-long partner is a physician in the emergency room. And so we have this really interesting east-west balance going on. But I really think of using the plants as daily support, right? It's not as if we treat ourselves once we're sick, but how can we continue to, like, stoking a fire? Think of we have a soul, we have a vitality within us, and it constantly needs maintenance, just like we need to shower or we need to tend the garden. We need to do that with our body. And so we think of that often with food and with exercise, but I would love us to think of that as well with what kind of herbal medicine we're taking as tonics to really support that vitality before, as preventative medicine, before we experience an ailment, so that ideally we can avoid some of those ailments or diseases because we have such a strong body that's been supported throughout the whole year.
Yeah, that's a perfect segue into mycology and your work with Four Sigmatic. So let's talk about, what is mycology?
Mycology is the study of functional, well, in my practice, functional mushrooms, but mycology at large is the study and science of mushrooms, of fungi. And when we talk about fungi, it's important to recognize that fungi are an entire biological kingdom. So separate than the plant kingdom, separate than the animal kingdom that we're part of, fungi reside on their own. And within that huge kingdom, there's several million species. It's debated how many there are because we're discovering more and more by day. There's a couple hundred, about 600 or 700 mushrooms that are known as functional. And this essentially means that they have known studied benefits to the human body. And many of these are traditional medicines. So just like the more common, say, mint or echinacea or chamomile that some people might be familiar with as an herbal medicine, in other cultures, these functional varieties like reishi and chaga and lion's mane are integral to healing practices. And they're incredibly relevant for what the modern world is experiencing. And so while they're not new for humans to use, they're new to many of us in the West. And they're really emerging at this time that we need what medicine they offer us. So it's this really amazing alignment that we're seeing.
K Kismet Refining is devoted to fermenting small batch craft vinegar and using vinegar and other fermentation methods to decrease food waste. Historically, vinegar has preserved in-season produce for out-of-season use, and they are reviving that largely forgotten notion and creating some exceptionally delicious gourmet products. Check out their latest offerings on their website, kismetrefining.com, and use code SIS to get 10% off your order.
Four Sigmatic, I mean, I think some people probably have heard of it, others have not. So what is that company doing and providing that encompasses those not as familiar to Western culture mushrooms?
Great question. So I'll explain what our brand name means, which gives a general understanding of what we're doing. We're a functional food company, but the name Four Sigmatic really encompasses that. And our original brand name was Four Sigma Foods. And so essentially, if you take all the edible foods on the planet and you put them on a graph based on their nutrient density, some foods will be horrible for you, some foods will be amazing, and most fall somewhere in between. So if you draw a mean in the center of this graph, there's a bell curve that forms. And from that mean, every measurement from the mean is called a standard deviation or a sigma. So you can go in the negative sigma direction as the bell curve is flowing down to the left and foods get worse and worse for you. You can go in the positive sigma direction and foods are getting better and better for you, more nutrient dense. And so what we do is we use foods that are four sigmas from average foods. And there are only about 100 foods that fall into this category. And they're the most nutrient dense and the most researched superfoods on the planet. So about 10 of those are functional mushrooms. Others are amazing plants and adaptogens, things like cacao and matcha. Coffee is even in this category. And so our goal is to add these Four Sigma foods into people's daily routines. And we kind of talked about this already, where when we take these functional foods, whether it's mushrooms or herbs, we want to be using them consistently to receive the benefits. So not, oh my goodness, I have a cold, I want to take a reishi mushroom today. It's how can we use them long-term daily so that ideally that cold never comes. So at Four Sigmatic, we add these foods into daily habits like coffee. So we're known for mushroom coffee or plant-based protein, adding mushrooms and adaptogens or evening cacao mixes with these ingredients in them. So really fun and creative ways to make these foods delicious and really, really easy and accessible to use every day.
So that tells us a little bit about Four Sigmatic and how we can start utilizing functional adaptogens and everything in our daily life for our human body. But can you tell me a little bit how fungi plays a major role or one of the most important roles in the planet's health?
Oh my gosh, this is a huge conversation. We're going to try to condense it into a minute. But when we talk about connection, fungi are really a living manifestation of what connection means. And I love this when we think about herbalism and plants as well, because while plants and trees and, you know, this entire kingdom is much more visible to our human eye, fungi are actually these underground connectors that are often responsible for a lot of what we praise the plants for. And what I mean by that is, the majority of mushrooms actually live as what's called a mycelial network. So if anyone's a gardener out there and has dug in soil, they've probably seen this white stringy looking stuff, and that's called mycelium. And this exists within all of the forest floors. This is everywhere on the planet, and it can be thought of like the cardiovascular system and the nervous system of the planet. So 90% of plant species depend on a mycelial relationship. It's called a mycorrhizal relationship, the type of fungi, to survive. So there's this symbiotic relationship between our plants and between the fungi. And they are so profound in the way that they take care of the planet, from being the grand decomposers of the world, right? They're building the soil. Think about, without fungi, we'd all be living under several feet of debris across the planet, right? So they're connecting life and death, being able to break things down. They're also delivering key nutrients to our plants. So whether we're we're eating kale salad for dinner, or we're going to harvest a, you know, echinacea flower and use it as medicine. The fungi are actually kind of these underground hidden forces that are responsible for delivering so many of the nutrients we praise these plants for. And I mean, it could go on and on, but I guess for today's short little subject, we'll plant the seed of mycelium and the magic that it truly is.
Beautiful. That was the perfect amount of information for this episode. But for those of you that have listened to this podcast before, you know that we will be doing deeper dives into various subjects, this being one of them. We will have Danielle back and we'll talk more about mycelial networks and how that is so important to the planet's health and how we as individuals and those that have, you know, deeper and larger networks, how we can support this vastly important ecosystem underneath our feet. So I'm going to shift gears here and talk about one of our favorite segments on the show. And I would love for you to share with us a favorite sustainable product or practice that you use in your personal life.
Oh my gosh. Well, I try to make everything myself. So I guess in terms of products, there's so many wonderful functional mushroom, I think is one of the hardest things that we can't really do ourselves. So it's important to source properly and have it extracted properly. And so there's some amazing companies like Mushroom Revival is one of my favorites. Of course, Four Sigmatic, but don't need to plug that again. Also Real Mushroom. So those are wonderful. And I'm using those every single day. And then otherwise, I would love to empower everyone here to take their products, you know, and what they want to use and see how they can internalize that a little bit. So whether that means trying to grow it yourself or supporting a local farmer or a local herbalist, really kind of narrowing the web so we can start to support our communities and really empower ourselves to know that we don't need to get everything on Amazon or grocery store, but a lot of our food and medicine, what's going to bring us the vitality and nourishment we need, can be just kind of an arm's length away if we are able to look for it.
Yeah, that's beautiful. I love that kind of making the web smaller, you know, starting with that locality, you know, supporting local as much as possible. And then eventually, once you have the bandwidth, trying to see what you can create at home. You know, I think we've talked about it a lot on this podcast about baby steps and, you know, making sure that you're not discouraging yourself. It's all a journey and takes time. And that's a really big part of it, whether it's, I think one of the simplest things to think about it, for example, is maybe you used to buy your deodorant at CVS, then you move to buying a plastic-free version at your local refillery, and then eventually you started making your own. There's just various steps to becoming as sustainable and, you know, in alignment with this kind of lifestyle that I think anyone listening to this podcast is attempting to create. So that's a really beautiful way of putting it.
Awesome. Love the deodorant example. I've been on that path.
I was going to say, I'm on that journey. So that one's near and dear to me.
Same.
Is there anything else you'd like to share with us today?
Oh, I'm just so honored to be here. And I love this community and just want to like honor ourselves for even listening and taking the time to be open-minded, you know, and open the eyes and ears to new concepts and ideas, because I think that's where real healing and vitality comes from, is when we can, you know, just stay open and malleable and continue to try things. As you said, be gentle on ourselves, meet ourselves where we're at, and know that, yeah, we're exactly where we're meant to be.
Beautiful. Well, Danielle, thank you so much for being here. It is a pleasure to learn more about you, and I cannot wait to have you back to dive even deeper. You can find more information on Instagram at Danielle Ryan Broida, that's Broida, and online at www.danielleryanwellness.com. You can also visit Four Sigmatic on Instagram at Four Sigmatic. As always, all of the resources and brands mentioned on today's podcast will be linked for your reference. And until next time, I'm Liz Murphy, sending you sustainability love from San Diego.
Sustainability is Sexy is a nonprofit organization located in San Diego, California, focused on inspiring and driving innovation within our community to create real change. Learn more at sustainabilityissexy.org and find out how you can be involved.